It's Helping Hand, Fridays on All Things Considered, and then archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. Helping Hand puts the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that supports those with disabilities and the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we're wrapping up 2 weeks of featuring nonprofits in the Asia-Pacific supporting two of the most vulnerable animals. Last week, elephants, and this week, rhinos, and in particular, the Sumatran rhino. One of the rarest living creatures on Earth, the Sumatran rhino has faced reduction in population and separation from each other, caused by both historic and catastrophic sea level rise, and over the last 1,500 years, a Chinese onslaught for rhino horn that has put rhinos around the world on the edge of extinction. Due to a lack of breeding, habitat loss, and poaching, Sumatran rhinos are unnaturally rare, with just 9 in captivity, 7 in Indonesia, where the only wild population is thought to exist, and 2 in Malaysia, where we head for today's guest. Dr. John Payne is the executive director of BORA, the Borneo Rhino Alliance. His Borneo Rhino Alliance cares for Malaysia's pair of Sumatran rhinos, a male, Tam, and a female, Iman, whose recent health crisis we have followed. Welcome to Helping Hand, Dr. Payne.
Hi to you, Dave.
Explain how the discovery of that male rhino led to the creation of BORA.
Yeah, in 2008, which turned out subsequently, we didn't know at the time, to be the last male rhino alive in Malaysia. This male rhino, Tam, turned up in an oil palm plantation. It's the biggest human land use in Malaysia, as you'll know with that background, right? It's a matter of time before someone shot him for the horn. So the decision was made to catch that rhino. Problem then was what exactly to do. So the upshot was I left WWF Malaysia with a few local colleagues, revitalized an old non-governmental organization that had been monitoring rhinos and rebranded it as Borneo Rhino Alliance, an alliance between government and passionate people, and set that up as a sort of mechanism to look after Tam. And flowing from that, knowing that the species is very, very, very rare, if you leave them in the wild, whether they're poached or not, it didn't matter. They're going to die without breeding. So our idea in Borneo Rhino Alliance in 2009 was to set up a program to catch all the remaining wild rhinos to form a captive breeding program. And we were financed by a remarkable Malaysian foundation called the Saim Darby Foundation for 7 years. And equally importantly, the policy support. Fortunately, the government of Malaysia have been very supportive of this idea of captive breeding.
The organization's funding currently...
Now, governments often get a lot of stick for doing the wrong thing, but yeah, we get really important donations from private individuals on an ad hoc basis, but at least 95% of our funding the last year has been from the government of Malaysia, which contracts my NGO, Borneo Rhino Alliance, to do this work for them.
How about the staff?
We have a total staff of 15, 12 live on site with the rhinos. They're led by a very remarkable Malaysian man called Dr. Zainal Zahari Zainuddin, Malaysia's most experienced wildlife veterinarian. We have at least one person living within 50 meters of both rhinos 24/7. It turned out that our work has just hit the tipping point of extinction. So when we started looking in 2009 or so, it turned out there are only 3 or 4 rhinos left.
They ended up with 2 more females, one of whom, Poon Tung, passed away last year, leaving Iman, who we've reported on All Things Considered, with her health crisis she's recently gone through. Give us an update.
So this rhino, Iman, we think she's in her late teens, maybe late 30s in human terms. She's still fertile, but the years are drawing in. We caught her March 2014. It turned out by ultrasound examination, we saw that there was a mass in her uterus, and then there was bleeding. The mass is actually an enormous mass of what in human terms are called fibroids or leiomyoma tumors. She doesn't have malignant cancer, but her uterus is filled with tumors, which are living and still growing. When she has a sudden movement, she slips on a slippery slope or is startled by some sound and she jerks her body. Every so often that bleeding starts, and this is the high risk time. So whereas we can manage her general condition by basically reducing stress, giving her an excellent diet, monitoring her estrus cycle and so on, there's always a risk that the bleeding will start. And then the problem is, how on earth do you stop that bleeding? And the other, which I should mention, is that even though she's cycling, she cannot bear a pregnancy, so an embryo cannot implant inside her uterus. This is the third episode of severe bleeding that happened in the last 7 or 8 weeks now, since December. And through a combination of absolutely enormous care, I mean, a lot of the care, I'd say, is literally emotional. The fact that this rhino, Iman, knows that there's people actually at her side helping her over weeks, 24 hours a day through the night, whether it's raining or dark or whatever, doesn't matter. 2 people at her side all the time, plus vitamin K, things that staunch blood flow, artificial blood, as it were, that's put in by a tube into her ear, antibiotics in case infection is a problem. All those things on three occasions now have saved her life. So as of now, she's stabilized, and we're very, very happy. But that risk is always going to be there of a recurrence.
The other good news is that while her latest health scare was taking place, a person in the Indonesian government mentioned that an arrangement to work with Malaysia on an in vitro fertilization breeding effort may see movement this year.
The idea of having an Indonesian-Malaysia collaboration actually started in the 1980s and got underway in 2013. The modern nation state that we have nowadays is a relatively recent human phenomenon. So when you get a species like the Sumatra rhino, which is very, very critically endangered, you cannot possibly isolate things by country or even by state or province. So as always, once you try to get agreements between nations, one issue tends to get linked to another one.
Right.
And the rhino is always like number 10 or 20 or 30 on the list. So that gives you the context. So it's amazing that one government civil servant. It's quite unusual a civil servant will come out and say, well, we think the agreement is on the way. So that's a major signal for us. Personally, I'd say it's great, but the big but is do it now. To get things moving, all we need is frozen semen from either Harapan or Andalas in Indonesia. Get experts, of which we have one Indonesian and one Italian man sort of on standby. Get them together to put the sperm from the semen and the egg together in a laboratory with a view to making embryos. Then you get people saying, well, it's never been done before. In 1975, they would have said the same thing about human beings. But now we have millions of human beings in the world done by what they used to call rather nastily test tube babies. But this is what we want to do with the Sumatran rhino. So it's essentially up to a bureaucrat to sign a certain letter and say, okay, go ahead now. That's what we're waiting for.
And when it comes to people who would love to support your organization, whether it's through donations to help you to be able to finance some of these delicate medical procedures that are hopefully coming up, volunteering by spreading the word, whether it's contacting legislators, please lay out anything and everything that you think people can do to try to help these animals and help your organization.
Thanks, Dave, for that opportunity. I'm going to have to be really mercenary and say the only way to help us now is financially through donations. The veterinary care we've got pretty well. Advocacy for government, Malaysia not necessary, they're all on board. Indonesia, now the message is there, as you've alluded to earlier in our conversation. So it's a matter of time before Indonesia collaborates in the way we'd like them to. Donations to keep us going is really the only critical need we have now.
Here's how to do it. BorneoRhinoAlliance.org, where you can learn more and make a donation online. Bora@BorneoRhinoAlliance.org to send an email. That's BORA@BorneoRhinoAlliance.org. Look for Bora, Borneo Rhino Alliance on Facebook. Get all the contact info, the full 30-minute plus interview, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. Anything else on supporting you guys you want to share?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity too. I guess there's just an add-on that when people give donations, and they might be quite small, we still want them. We do need extras, all those little things, from buying supplements. We don't have a government budget to buy all those supplements, vitamins, medication we need. If we get Professor Arif Budiono over from Indonesia to help us, we don't have a budget for that. So there is a need for that top-up supplementary funding, just to make that clear. I think the other one, the reality is that there's 7 billion human beings. The number is going to increase a lot. Our use of resources is going to go up. And whereas the last 100 years or so, the sort of mantra has been national parks, wildlife reserves, protected areas, those are all really needed and a real baseline. But I think wildlife conservation is going to have to go back to what it was maybe 50, 100 years ago. The American bison, European bison, were saved from extinction by a small group of passionate people, often landowners, zoo people, and so on. There needs to be a lot more creative thinking. For example, in the oil palm industry, which is, as I mentioned earlier, the biggest landowner in this region, they need to play a much bigger role in allowing wildlife to live in the plantations. So in summary, I'd say the rhino case, to me, is an interesting prompt to think about conserving large, rare, wild animal species in the longer term.
Dr. John Payne, Executive Director of BORA, the Borneo Rhino Alliance, looking after among the very rarest living creatures anywhere on this planet. Grateful to try to extend the reach of what you're doing, and on behalf of both of those rhinos that you're looking after, thank you so much for doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to say what I always like to say in public. Thanks, Dave.